You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Today, I'm going to just have a small update on Obamacare. I've had several shows on it, and I'm really tired of Obamacare, quite frankly, and I think the American people are becoming quickly disenchanted in the whole subject. But the interest in terms of talk radio, especially commercial talk radio and call-ins really complaining, it's amazing because it's going on and on and on. And if you were to talk to the host of these shows, they will tell you the same thing. They have a lot of other material, but what the callers want to talk about is Obamacare, and the reason is quite simple. A lot of the people that are really complaining already have medical insurance. They went out and did the right thing, bought a plan that met their needs, both in terms of the benefits, but also in terms of what they could afford. And now what they're finding, and this is across the country, whether it's Florida, Texas, California, New York, you name the state, what they're finding is that if their plan is being canceled, and the reason why, it's not that the company doesn't want the business, but by law, their existing plan does not meet the requirements of what I call Obamacare, which is a shorthand for the Affordable Care Act. And as a result, they legally can't offer that plan, their current plans, anymore. And the problem is Obamacare specifies what you have to have in terms of essential health care benefits. And many of plans have many, if not all, of those benefits, but some don't. And, you know, and typically, for example, I always give my own situation. I'm not interested in maternity care. I'm not interested in drug counseling. I'm not interested in psychiatric services or counseling. They're just things that I know I don't want to pay for. I don't need, I don't want, and I will look for a plan that does not cover them. You see, that's the problem. Any bureaucrat in Washington can make a long list of things that, well, I want this, and this. The arrogance of that is people have their own tastes, their own preferences. They know their own situation best, and also they know what they can afford. And if they truly don't want, for example, they don't use drugs, they don't need drug rehabilitation programs. Or if they really have never had mental problems, don't anticipate any mental problems, they don't need the services of a psychiatrist. And those benefits are expensive. Once you require everyone, every plan to have that, that in and of itself will drive up the cost. And then when you add to that, Obamacare requires that anyone with a pre-existing condition has to get the coverage. Unlike individual medical insurance that in the past has been medically underwritten, which means the insurance company will ask you, not many, but they'll ask you several medical questions regarding your health. For example, have you ever been treated for cancer? If the answer is yes, you have to provide details. Have you ever had a heart attack? Do you have high blood pressure? Have you ever had a stroke? And there's obviously reasons they ask those questions, because if you have been treated for cancer or heart attack or stroke, I'm just using those as examples, they probably will not cover you for the simple reason they know you're probably a big claim either already or in the near future. And that's what individual coverage, that is not what group coverage that you typically get through your employer. And because of that the fact that all the Obamacare plans, whether it's the gold, whether it's the bronze, silver, gold, or platinum, the so-called metal plans, all have these required benefits in it, and they all require that the insurance company accept anyone. And that's why there are no medical questions. There are other questions, like your Social Security number and information about yourself, such as your email, your address, which is normal for anyone that's buying something. So the problem is the premiums are much higher than what people that have already that have in the past and today have individual medical coverage. They're finding their plan is canceled, and when they go on the website, if they can and get registered, they open an account. What they're finding is that the premiums for a comparable plan are much higher, 25, 50, 100% more than what they're paying for now. And guess what? That's when they get mad. And when they dig into what's the deductible, instead of a $100 deductible or $500 or $1,000 deductible, many of these plans have deductibles. For example, the bronze plan has either a $5,000 or $6,000 deductible, depending on which carrier you select. And the other plans have a slightly lower deductibles, but you're talking thousands of dollars. Not hundreds or a thousand. You're talking typically anywhere from $2,000 to $6,000 deductibles, with the bronze and silver having the higher deductibles because your premium is generally lower, and the gold and the platinum have lower deductibles. So you have two things going on. You're having price sticker shock, and the price is much higher than you thought. And that should have been expected for the simple reason they're mandating or requiring that all these plans have certain essential health benefits. But more importantly, the insurance company is going to have to accept everybody. So who really benefits from this? And that's what you need to keep in mind. People that have pre-existing conditions. And they're the ones that initially are really going to go to this site and enroll. Because for them, it's probably cheaper. Because many of these people either don't have any health insurance, or if they do, it's quite expensive. So they benefit. There are winners and losers here. And the winners are the people with pre-existing conditions. The losers are the majority, the vast majority of American people. I would say over 90%, probably as high as 95% of all the Americans that don't have a serious pre-existing condition. They're the major losers, because what are they doing? They are subsidizing or sharing the costs with the people that have pre-existing conditions. So that's what's going on, and call after call after call, I have not heard anyone say, and again, this is anecdotal evidence, I've not heard anyone really have a lower premium. Almost invariably, it's higher, and the deductibles are 4, 5, 10 times higher or more. So it's not being popular. This is really, really going to impact the Democrats come next November. Because once the problems at the website are eventually worked out, and I really think it's going to take 6 months to a year before all the so-called glitches and kinks are worked out. But at some point in time, that's going to happen. You can't hide the price from someone that's motivated to buy this. And that's when the real problem, that's the real problem with Obamacare, that most Americans will be paying significantly more just to buy the health insurance. And they're going to be hit with a much higher deductible, typically anywhere from $2,500 with a platinum plan to upwards of $6,000 or more for a bronze. And remember, you need to buy the silver plan to get the subsidies. And what you need to remember, the deductibles and the premiums are obviously going to vary from carrier to carrier, insurance company to insurance company. So you need to really shop and do a lot of comparing. But when you do that, across the board, what people are finding, and there are reports all over the web on this, and that's why people are really screaming about it, is it's costing them a lot more money. And many people that even supported Obama, voted for him not once but twice, and wanted Obamacare, now they're finding out what it really means. And what it means for them is they're paying more for health insurance. And they're not happy about it. I wouldn't be happy about it. Not at all. Because many people are going to have to really shop. They're going to hustle. They need a hustle to find a comparable plan that they can afford. And many people are just saying, I can't afford this. And those are the people that are not getting any subsidies at all. And many of the people that are getting the so-called subsidies, that's not going to help them enough. So there's a general dissatisfaction with the product. Obama says, well, the product is good. No, it's not. It's not good for the vast majority of American people. I'd be the first one to say, yes, there are going to be people that benefit. And the primary beneficiaries are people, actually there are two groups, those that already have a serious pre-existing condition, which meant either they couldn't find insurance, or to the extent they could through various state high-risk pools, had to pay a significant amount of money to get the health insurance. That's the primary beneficiary. The others are those that are, in essence, poor or low income that will get some subsidies. But even there, the subsidy really, it's still too expensive. And what's really going on when you cut to the chase, what's the bottom line here? What was the whole purpose of Obamacare? It was to ensure, it was to require young people, typically from the ages of 18 to 29, force them to buy insurance, because that is the one group that doesn't buy much health insurance, and the reason why their perception is that they don't need it. And they're really right. Most young people don't really have large medical claims. The only really situations where you find that is, yes, if they're injured in an automobile, seriously injured in an automobile accident, or develop some rare condition at a young age, yeah, they might get hit with a large medical bill. But with few exceptions, most young people are not heavy users of health services, both doctors and hospitals. See, that's why they want these people to get coverage, because what they are paying for premiums are supporting two groups, mainly those that are sicker, have a pre-existing condition, or older. Older people have more usage of health insurance. That's why as people get older, they tend to buy health insurance and want the better plans, because they know that they have medical problems or medical conditions that require doctor services, if not therapy and hospitalization. That's the dirty secret. The whole purpose of Obamacare was to force young people to get insurance. And I don't think it's going to work out, because, first of all, most of these young people expect a good experience when they go shopping. They're used to that. They don't have to wait around for hours or days to get an account. It's like when they buy a book, for example, from Amazon, or buy anything online. You can do that in minutes. We're not talking hours. It's minutes to shop online, and that's the typical user experience. That is the expectation, and that is what the healthcare.gov site is not delivering. Now, that'll be fixed, but you can't hide the fact, and it'll become more and more apparent that these plans are very expensive and high deductibles. Okay, that's a quick summary of where we're at right now. That the site also went down for, I believe, about a 15-hour period when one of the, you need to understand, you're entering your information, what's called on the front end or the user end. There's a lot of information that once they have, you know, your name, your Social Security address, they need to pull information from a number of databases, and one of those databases went down in the sense of being able to provide information, and once that happened, people couldn't enroll for a 15, I understand it was about a 15-hour period. That's not good, and it's unfortunate. See, I hope Obamacare is not delayed. Many people are saying, delay it, delay it, delay it. The Republican Party wanted it delayed for a year. It was the Democratic Party and President Obama that insisted, no, it will not be delayed a year, even though it's obviously to everyone that this website is a disaster and it's insecure. I'm getting more and more information that there are back doors that programmers can access and, in essence, steal your information. That's not good. And that's from programmers. So I would stay off the site. My recommendation is stay off the site. Now, I know what the problem is. Many people that start 1 January, they have to find something else, and that is their problem. And they're not going to be happy, even when it gets fixed. I wouldn't go on it for at least another month, if not two. I'd wait to the very, very last minute to really do anything and really keep up with what's happening. Now, one of the cosmetic changes to the healthcare.gov site, there used to be a picture of a woman on the site, and I must say this, I thought that was a very good picture. Well, apparently, the Obamacare girl is gone. The Obamacare girl is gone. And I was chuckling. I said, well, that was the best thing on the site. It was a pleasing photo, an inviting photo. You wanted to come in. Not anymore. Gone. The first casualty. Now, that's all. This is style over substance. That you can change in about 2 seconds. You just change the image and the reference to it, the path to the image. That's a cosmetic change. And I frankly, I could see why maybe they did it, because people have a negative, if they've been trying to get an account for days, if not weeks, they have a negative response to seeing the image psychologically, so there's no face now. But the problem is people comparing prices and getting the details of the plan. And that amazes me, because anybody that buys anything online, you want picture. Now, obviously, you can't get a picture of the plan, but you should get a specification telling you, you know, what's the deductible, what are the copays, what are the maximum lifetime, if there is any, what's included in the plan, what are the premiums, both for yourself, your spouse, and children. All these details should be available, and not estimates, actually prices. I don't want an approximation or a rough order of magnitude or a ROM of what it's going to cost. I want specifics, and I want it not only for one plan, I want it for all plans so I can do a comparison. Well, I think we're probably months away from that, and to do that safely online, I think a minimum of 3 months to 6 months before this is resolved. And the problem is you have to mid-December to enroll. And that's a little over about 50 days away. I don't think these problems are going to be fixed by the end of November. Because here's the problem. If you're a programmer brought in to fix the problem, you first have to understand the existing code. That takes time just to understand what you got. And then you got to diagnose what are the problems or what's causing all the problems or the errors, and then you have to design the fix. And once you get the fix, you got to test it, make sure it works, make sure it doesn't break anything else, and then you have to explain it to the people involved, and then you got to test it. In essence, you're almost starting from scratch. Not quite, because a lot of it is already there, but there are numerous problems with it. So it's just time consuming. It takes a certain number of people, and they have to work on it. It's not like a snap. You can snap your fingers and tomorrow all the problems are going away. Now, what's interesting, I haven't seen it, but I've heard and talked to someone that has. There's been a skit on Saturday Night Live on Obamacare that everyone who's seen it says you must watch this skit, because they're really poking fun at the Obamacare or the healthcare.gov site. That's not good, folks, it's not good for the Obamacare, because usually it's the media that have been supporting Obamacare. But when Saturday Night is going after you, and apparently this is a very, very good skit. Remember, it's a comedy. It's not news. It's comedy. If they're really tearing you apart, which this does really viciously, I think I really got to see it. I'm going to see it after this show. I had a meeting that I had to attend right when I was preparing this show, so I didn't have time to look at it. That was on my list of things to do. So the Obamacare train disaster, it's not really a train disaster. You know what it is? This is government interventionism gone amok. It's a bunch of bureaucrats in Washington conspiring with, guess who? Conspiring with insurance companies to design these plans to force Americans to buy a product many cannot afford. Now, here's the one other thing, and I mentioned this on the Friday show, and we're getting more information on this. A large proportion, it's going to vary from state to state, but a large percentages of the people that actually so-called open an account and enroll, they're not enrolling insurance plans. Why? They don't make enough money to. So if you're below the poverty line, and there are different income levels depending on whether you're an individual, married, number of children, so the number is going to vary, and there's charts online to look that up. I'm not going to get into that, but my point is this. If you're below the poverty line, you don't get a plan. You're not getting a free plan. What you're going to be, what you're eligible for is Medicaid. Medicaid. That's been around for years, and that's one of the biggest expenses states have to, after education in most states, that's the major budgetary item. And the federal government pays part of it, and the states pay a large part, too. And it's been around. So many of the so-called uninsured, that's what's happening. They're signing up for Medicaid, and they're probably the usage of Medicaid will go up. So they're also a beneficiary. But a large percentage of those actually signing up and getting something are those people. And you got to remember that the reason why we have Obamacare in the first place, this was to increase the number of people that had health insurance. The numbers during the elections that you heard were somewhere between 40 and 45 million people didn't have health insurance. Note, I didn't say didn't have access to health care. I said did not have health insurance. But you, when you break those numbers down, and I'll give you a range, somewhere between 10 to 15 million of those people were illegal aliens or illegal immigrants, so-called undocumented workers. So if you take those people out of the equation, because the American people were not going to support providing those people with a health insurance plan. They're not citizens of this country. They're not here legally. They're working here illegally. Usually they've committed three crimes. They've broken into the country. They didn't follow immigration procedures, presented themselves to an immigration officer to gain entry. Then they need documents, and they usually purchase fraudulent documents. Why? Because they need a job, and they need to present them to get a job. So they commit three crimes. They break in, they get illegal documents, and then they work here illegally, which is also a crime. If you don't have the appropriate status to work here, in this country and in any country, that's a crime. It can be a misdemeanor or a felony, whether or not you're a repeat offender. But it's a crime. They've committed three crimes, and now many on the left, many Obamas, well, they have to get health insurance. The American people, overwhelming majority, says no. They shouldn't be working here. Immigration law should be enforced, and it's not being enforced, which means you should be arrested and deported. That's the law. That is the law. And see, I keep hearing over and over and over again, there are 11 million illegal aliens here. They don't, illegal immigrants. They don't say illegal aliens. There are? No one really knows the number. But what I've listened to trying to research this, there's somewhere between 30 and 40 million and maybe as high as 50 million illegal aliens here. The federal government is not going to advertise that fact. They're not. The federal government is in the best position because they have satellites with excellent cameras that are covering our border, and they can come up with fairly good estimates of how many illegal aliens over time have broken into the United States. Now, not all of that is through crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. About half of the illegal immigrants here in the United States are people that came to the United States legally with visas and then overstayed their visas. That's why this problem is not 10 or 11 million. It's somewhere between 30 and 50 million. And if the real number were really known, the American people would be irate. And that's why most Americans, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 4, if you ask them what's the solution to the illegal immigration problem, they will say, all I really want, well, first they would say, I'm not against legal immigration. We have the most generous legal immigration situation than in the entire world. We invite people to come in. But you got to get in line and you got to fill out the paperwork. And yes, it can take many, many years, 10 years, 15 years. And people do that all the time. And yes, there's a backlog. You might be not aware of this, but over 1 million people every year enter the United States legally, and get in that line. Over 1 million, several hundred thousand more than 1 million. I'm using 1 million just so you get a barb, keep it simple in your head. That's legal. I have no problem with legal immigration, except I think that number is much too high. And I really think it should be tied to the unemployment rate or unemployment situation in the United States. And there should be a range when unemployment rate is very low, when we're at near full employment, when the unemployment rate is typically between 3 and 4%, then I would be in favor upwards of 500,000 be admitted. Conversely, when we're in a situation where the unemployment rate is above 6%, and now for the 57th month, we've been above 7%, and many of those months we've been over 8, 9%, that instead of 500,000 being admitted, when we're in a high unemployment situation that's persisting, which it is, that's the situation today, then at most 150,000, maybe 200,000, there should be a sliding scale. I'm not for 1 million legal immigration, but I definitely favor legal immigration, and we need reform in those areas, but I am definitely not in favor of the so-called pathway to citizenship or amnesty. Whenever someone brings up comprehensive immigration reform, what they're in essence saying, the illegal immigrants that are here, whatever that number is, and I think it's tens of millions, it's not 11 million. And it drives me up the wall when both Republicans and Democrats and even people calling in use that number. That's not a legitimate number as far as I'm concerned. And there needs to be some research as to what that true number is. However, the point I was making is between 10 and 15 million minimum of the people not having insurance were illegal immigrants. In addition, you had another 10 to 15 million that qualified for Medicaid. So right off the bat, somewhere between 20 and 30 million people, half of them shouldn't get it at all, and the other half, there's already a existing program. So you're looking at, what's the remainder? Somewhere between 10 and 15 million. Most of those people are between jobs. That's why they don't have health insurance. But I will say, yes, there is a somewhere between 5 and maybe 10 or a little bit higher million people that can't afford it. They're between jobs. They can't find the job. And because they're making some income, don't qualify for Medicaid. That is the core problem. It's not a 30 or 40 or 50. The number I'm hearing today, there are 47 million people without insurance. You see, what Obamacare is leading to is more people not having insurance. Why? Because they can't keep their existing plan. And what really got me upset, I was preparing for the show, and I saw a video clip in which Senator Tom Coburn and Axelrod, he's the strategist for Obama, key advisor and political strategist for Obama, was bold-facing, lying to the American people, saying the American people can keep their plan. Mr. Axelrod, there are stories in every paper across this country, even on television, that millions of Americans are losing their plans. Yet he has the audacity, the arrogance to look the American people in the eye and on television and say that when it's wrong. And that's what Senator Coburn was responding. You're simply wrong, Mr. Axelrod. See, here's the problem. There are people that are simply ignorant or ill-informed, and they believe what he says. They believe what Axelrod is saying, that they can keep their own plan. That's denying reality. That's lying. You see, the President of the United States lied to the American people, and his advisors go on television and continue the lie. And they think they can get away with it because many Americans are simply ignorant. They don't follow this. Anyone that is following this story knows that what Axelrod was saying was a lie. But he says it with compassion and conviction in his voice. And there are people, unfortunately, ignorant. Some are stupid, but mainly ignorant, that believe him. Now, many of them don't have insurance, so they're not getting the letter. But anyone... Right now, across America, and for the next 2 months, people are going to be getting from their insurance companies letters saying, I'm sorry, but because of the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, your plan has been canceled. We can no longer offer it. Now, some of them will try, if they're a large insurance company, tell you what the comparable plan is, and when you go look at it, it's going to cost you a lot more money, and the deductible is going to be much higher, and that's when the American people that have in the past done the right thing are going to get very, very upset, and legitimately get upset. Now, the winners are the poor, but the poor are not going to get any of these plans. The poor are really, their choice is, if you earn little or no income, and you're under age 65, you qualify for Medicaid. And I need to at least say this. I was doing the post-production of the last show, and at least several times I said Medicare when I was really meaning Medicaid. Now, if you listen to the whole show in the context, you understand that. But I need to emphasize it. Medicare is for people 65 or older, because you got to be 65 to qualify. I'm simplifying here. But that's the general rule. People that are poor, and I mean really poor, below the poverty line, what they qualify for is Medicaid. And that is what most people on these exchanges, whether it's the state or the healthcare.gov site, a large percentage of the people that are actually enrolling are enrolling in Medicaid. They could have done that without this site. There are offices across in every major city, but there are also websites which you can enroll in Medicaid. The problem with it, there are few doctors and healthcare providers that will offer services to Medicaid people. It's not like they can get no healthcare, but it's going to be difficult to get. It's free. It is free if you can find a doctor that will treat you. And it's not a walk in the park. You're motivated or should be motivated to get a job. Why? If you get a good job, a full-time job with most employers, guess what? Your employer, in order to be competitive with other businesses, is going to offer you health insurance. Now, not everyone will. New small businesses simply can't offer it. But any business that's been around, has been successful for a period of time, for its full-time employees, will offer health insurance. So there is the economic incentive for most individuals to search for a job, and once they get it, to keep it. Because one of the benefits of working full-time, one of the key employee benefits, is health insurance. And I need to put in context, most Americans, that's where they have their health insurance. Now, one big proviso, those group plans also have to satisfy and meet the requirements of the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare. And premiums for those group health coverages are going up as well. So what's happening is, and there's an employment effect, more and more employers are not hiring full-time people. They're only hiring part-time people, so they don't have to provide health insurance. And it's not like they're mean people. It's they literally can't afford it. They need people to do the jobs, but they can't offer health insurance. Why? Because Obamacare is resulting in the premiums, even for these group plans, going up considerably. And why the very large companies, 50 or more employees, got a waiver for a year. And see, and this needs to be said, most companies that have more than 50 employees, a very, very large percent, over 99%, have health insurance. But the problem for them is their rates are going up, as is everyone's, and there's a very few percentage that doesn't offer it, that now is going to have to offer it. Obamacare is a disaster. I'm totally against it. It is big interventionist government statism run amok. And remember, the objective of the people that are pushing Obamacare, including the president, including the Democratic Party, including progressives, is to go to a single-payer system where the single payer is the federal government. And that will only mean more expense. The government should get out of the health insurance industry. It should get out of health care. They're not going to get out. That's not going to happen. Because today, folks, over half of the payments for health care in the United States are paid by the federal government. That includes people that are in the armed forces. That it also includes people on Medicare. And it includes people on Medicaid. So over half of all bills or claims for health care services, who's paying the bill? The federal government is, because they control it. But who ultimately is paying the bill? You are. The taxpayer is. And what these people want is single payer. I call it the lead plan. We have the bronze, the silver, the gold, the platinum. That's Obamacare right now. But the next phase is single payer, the lead plan. I don't think it's going to happen for this reason. What is the number one concern today in Washington amongst the political class, the ruling elite? Do you think they're really concerned about the fact that millions of Americans, the cost of coverage is going up? Remember, it was supposed to go down. It was supposed to. I never believed it. I thought that was a joke. Because what I saw happening actually happened. Everyone with a pre-existing condition has to be covered, and they're going to insist on certain coverages. That's a guarantee for more expensive health insurance, and that's exactly what's happened. Now, one way to mitigate that is to have high deductibles. You get the worst of both worlds. You pay a lot more, and they did for a premium, but then once you need health insurance, you need health care, doctors, hospitals, you have to meet a higher deductible. In other words, the total amount of money you're out of pocket, both for premium and for deductibles and co-payments, it's dramatically increased. I think it's at least double, if not triple. And that is what the American people are waking up to, and what the political class in Washington, especially the Democratic Party, are panicking over, is they might lose power on this issue alone. It's really focusing the attention of the American people on this issue. So when they go in the voting booth next November, and that's just a little over a year away, November 4th of 2014 is election day. And what I'm predicting, and it's not a hard prediction, the millions of Americans, whether they buy individual coverage or own businesses and their employees, there is going to be pushback and a reaction by the American people against all the Democrats that are responsible for the disaster. And yes, there are certain people that have benefited. The poor, low-income people will get their subsidies, and the people that had serious pre-existing conditions such as cancer, strokes, heart attacks, major illnesses like that net-net are a benefit in terms of lower premium. Those are the winners. The losers are the majority of the American people, and all of those people vote, as well as the seniors are losers. They're waking up to that as well. So there's going to be a backlash, a major backlash against Obamacare. It's not the website is actually the least of their problems. That's what's getting attention now. That's what's getting mocked right now. But wait to the point, and it's going to happen within the next 100 to 120 days, that people really find out what Obamacare is costing them, how it's hitting them in the wallet. You see, what's not really being reported, but it's happening as I speak, employers all over the country are having meetings with their employees to explain their new health insurance and explain what the deductibles are. And what I'm hearing from callers as well as articles, that the premiums, just like the individual plans, are going up and the deductibles are much higher, and the employees are out of pocket a lot more money, not only for the premiums, but also for the deductibles. They're not happy. The employer's not happy, because the employer wants happy, satisfied employees. And they're not going to be happy when they find out that their plan now, instead of having $250 or $500 deductible or $750 or $1,000. Now it's $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 deductibles. And the premium is higher. And some companies, the employer will pay 100% for the employee. Now there's maybe some sharing, and some companies would even provide company coverage for the family. Now either they're dropping that and you have to pay for it yourself. The bottom line is, across the country, millions, tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of Americans are waking up to the fact that they've been conned. They've been lied to as to what Obamacare was. And they are not happy. They're not happy campers. And as a result, come next November, there's going to be a backlash. Now, one, I said I was going to give you a short segment on Obamacare. I went rather long, but I needed to wrap up in terms of, okay, what's happening? And that's what's happening. They're being ridiculed in such places as Saturday Night Live. And what's happening is you're seeing news reports after news reports of people losing their coverage. And when they go online, finding it's going to cost them a lot more in terms of monthly premiums as well as higher deductibles. And that's where we're at today. My advice is stay off that site as long as you can. As an alternative, go to healthpocket.com. That will provide you information. You can't enroll there, but at least you can start getting smart. That's healthpocket.com. Now, one thing I normally say at the very beginning, but I need to say here, the way you listen to the Pronk Pop Show is I have a companion blog for this show, and it is pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronkpops, P-R-O-N-K-P-O-P-S .wordpress.com. And at the very top, you'll have links to today's show. Now, I'm going to introduce this segment. I'm going to cover it in detail the next show, but I at least want to give you a heads up what I had planned to really spend more time on. I don't watch TV. I don't have a TV in my house, but I do listen to a lot of talk radio, and I do have access to the internet at Richland College, and there is a clip that you need to look up, and it's the 60-minute piece about the what I call the Obama, it is Obama's scandal, but it's the Benghazi scandal. There has been a update, if you will. Now, most of the information, I need to say this, if you have closely followed Benghazi, which I have, and I've written about and will write again more on, most of the information provided in that 60-minute, it was a 60-minute is the show, it was about a 15, 16-minute segment, a report. Most of the information I already knew. Now, what was interesting, this is a major network, major corporate media that is finally releasing some of the details that, quite frankly, should have been released prior to the last election and wasn't. What was happening is your major television networks, as well as major media, were playing down the Benghazi scandal, the lie that all of this was caused by a YouTube video that was sort of a B-grade movie that was offensive to Islam. That was the reason that we had a spontaneous protest and demonstration in Benghazi that resulted in four people being killed. That is a lie. Another lie by the President of the United States. Are you beginning to see a pattern? We have a president that habitually lies. He lied about Obamacare, and guess what? Him, his Secretary of State, his United Nations ambassador, his press secretary, all lied. They said that the attack in Benghazi was due to a YouTube video that no one believed. I still remember I was visiting a relative in Florida, and I watched all, I don't have a television at home, but my relative did. I watched all five shows when the United Nations ambassador, Susan Rice, said it was the demonstration and protest in Benghazi was a direct result of a YouTube video. That was a flat-out lie, because at that, and this was, a good 10 days after the September 11th attack. That wasn't the next day. It was about 10 or 11 days afterwards that she went on all the networks and said that. She knew, the Secretary of State knew, Hillary Clinton, as well as the President, Barack Obama, that that simply was not true. They had information, the very as the diplomatic facility in Benghazi was being attacked, that this was a planned, organized, professional attack by al-Qaeda terrorists, al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorists. They knew of this. They knew of it ahead of time that al-Qaeda-affiliated groups announced that they were going to attack British, the International Red Cross, and then the United States. And guess what? Prior to that September 11 attack, the British ambassador's vehicle was attacked, as was the Red Cross. And they announced it online. And there were the CIA knew, as well as the State Department, as well as the Department of Defense, that this was not a spontaneous protest or a demonstration. This was a professional attack targeting both the diplomatic facility in Benghazi as well as what's called the Central CIA Annex, where CIA is the Central Intelligence Agency. And that led to the death of Ambassador Chris Stevens, as well as three other Americans, one working for the State Department in data management, as well as two of the prior military, they were there to provide security, that were killed by mortars. This was a professional attack. It was organized by al-Qaeda. And guess what? No help was provided. No help was provided by the United States. Someone issued the orders. And really, the only person that can issue the orders is the President of the United States, in his capacity as commander-in-chief. No help was sent. The only help came from a small group of diplomats, not military, diplomats from Tripoli, some of them with military experience, flying into Benghazi. By that time, when they finally did arrive, you already had four dead Americans. So after a year, over a year later, now I will commend CBS, they're the only network that has the courage to actually do a report, but it's rather late, folks. You see, neither CBS, NBC, or ABC really investigated this story hard. They stayed away from it. Why? This gave the lie to the fact that al-Qaeda was on the run. No, it wasn't. It was attacking Americans, our ambassador, and they killed him. They killed him. And what sticks in my craw, no attempt was made to really rescue them. You know, it's doubtful whether the ambassador or the State Department employee could have been saved. I'll admit that, because they were really dead in the early part of the attack. But some 7 to 8 hours later, that's when the two security people that were really working for the CIA were killed as a direct result of mortars hitting their positions on the roofs. That whole CIA annex was also being attacked. It was only a little bit later that day that finally some help arrived, and then everyone was pulled out. Now, why hasn't the networks really focused in on this? There are a lot of unanswered questions, and I'll go over the CIA, the 60-minute piece on this tomorrow in a little bit more detail. But why were they there? You know, the question, the big question that's really never asked, and is obviously if you don't ask the question, you're not going to get an answer. The reason why the CIA was there was to ship arms and fighters to Syria. They were accumulating in a warehouse arms as well as training groups of people that were going to be shipped to Syria through Turkey. That's, remember, the last meeting of Ambassador Chris Stevens was with the Turkish ambassador. You see, this was a big cover story. And the cover story was he was on a diplomatic mission. No, this was a CIA covert operation. And what was the role of that CIA covert operation or action? It was arms shipments. To who? The Syrian rebels. And guess what? Who are the Syrian rebels? A large percentage of those Syrian rebels are either al-Qaeda or groups, Islamic fanatics, that would love to kill Americans. We were in the process of shipping arms to people that would, if they had the chance, kill other Americans. Now, why would we do that? Because they were opposing Assad in Syria. You see, there's no good side in the civil war in Syria. And what the federal government, what President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary do not want out is the real reason we put people in danger. That's why we haven't had over 35 Americans that were in the CIA and annex testify before Congress even to this date. There have been some testimony. Some testimony, but not from the people that were actually there that could tell us exactly what happened in these attacks, as well as why they were there. That's the big cover-up. That's the big scandal. And a part of that scandal was covered on the 60-minute piece, basically a 15, 60-minute story. So I'll give credit for CBS with furthering the story. But we have not heard the complete story of what was going on. We might never hear it. But truth be known, that's what was happening. And remember, it was happening before an election. Less than 60 days before an election. About 7 weeks before an election. That's why the networks didn't cover it. It would have shown that Al-Qaeda was not on the run. If anything, it was getting more powerful and more daring and deliberately targeting Americans as well as Europeans in Benghazi. And the scandal is very little was done to secure and protect the people that were there. It was a CIA operation, folks, a CIA operation to supply weapons and ammunition and support to the Syrian rebels and ship it first through Turkey and then through Turkey to ultimately to get into Syria and the Syrian rebels. So we'll learn more our next show. It'll probably, I hope it'll be Tuesday, but I suspect, though, my next show will be this Wednesday. And for those that are new listeners, the way you listen to the show is go to pronkpops.wordpress.com. That's pronk, P-R-O-N-K, pops, P-O-P-S, .wordpress.com. And at the very top, there'll be a link to today's show. And the reason why I'm doubtful on Tuesday, I really do the show from the studio, and we have two students that have both a 3 and 4 o'clock slot. For me to present the show, they have to cancel. So it's really up in the air to the very last minute, will I have a show? Now, initially, I was trying to have a show Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday would be from 4 to 5, and then Friday would be 3 to 5. The only permanent slot is 3 to 5. Prior to that, it's a one-hour show. So I wanted to alert you to it. Now, at some future date, whether it's this semester or next semester, what I'm shooting for is a two-hour show every day. And keep in mind, you've heard no call-ins, you've heard no commercials. That is the equivalent of a three-hour talk show, because most talk shows today are 40 to 42 minutes, which is roughly times three for 3 hours. That's roughly of 120 to 126 minutes. So at some future date, I plan to have a two-hour show, which will be 120 minutes plus maybe 5 or 10, and do that every day. That's my goal, and the sooner I can do that, the better, but it looks like it probably is not going to be this semester. At the earliest, it'll be next semester, depending on who continues giving their show. Thank you for listening. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. I hope today's show was both entertaining, informative, and educational. Thank you, and have a great day.